The Volume.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Career Builder is made for people who have that thing. You know, those superpowers that make you good at your job, the skills you bring to work. And Career Builder knows those skills make you right for other jobs too. Higher paying jobs with benefits. Jobs you never thought of trying. Are you a people person? Work from home as a customer service rep? Are you organized and like driving? Become a delivery driver. You have the skills it takes, and CareerBuilder.com has the jobs to get you hired fast. Visit CareerBuilder.com. Millions of Americans are getting back to work. CareerBuilder calls it the great rehire. And we want to help you get the best jobs before everyone else. CareerBuilder gives you the competitive edge to get the job you want, at the salary you want, with the benefits you want. We even send job alerts, so your perfect job lands right in your inbox. Go to CareerBuilder.com today, or get left with whatever jobs are left. Find your next job fast at CareerBuilder.com.
The more we learn about COVID-19, the more questions we have. The biggest question now? What's next? What will COVID bring in 6 months? A year? If you're feeling anxious about the future, you're not alone. CalHope offers free COVID-19 emotional support. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org today.
Boxing with Chris Mannix is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. I bet on FanDuel as often and as comfortably as I possibly can. It is America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. There are fast payouts in as quick as 2 hours. So many bet types. Same game parlay bets, live betting, player props, futures, and so much more. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started right now. Sign up with the promo code BOXING so they know I sent you.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Boxing with Chris Mannix, part of the Volume Sports Podcast Network. We got a great show for you this week. Al Bernstein, the Hall of Famer, Showtime Boxing, he joins me to run through all the news of the week, from Demetrius Andre's decision to move up in weight, rumors swirling about Anthony Joshua taking step-aside money, Gary Russell Jr.'s future, plus, are we going to see Gervonta Davis in the ring with a top fighter at lightweight in 2022? Stick around for that. Great conversation with Al Bernstein. A little bit later on, Trevor Bryan, the WBA's regular heavyweight champion. He is in action this weekend on a pay-per-view undercard. Trevor Bryan is undefeated, but he is largely untested and relatively unknown. I talked to him about that and how he can inject himself into the mix with the other top heavyweights. As always, best way to support this podcast, get over to Apple Podcast, post a comment, leave a rating. It's simple, it's easy, it's free. It's the best way to make sure that we keep doing this podcast week after week. That's it. All right, on to the show. All right, joining me this week is the great Al Bernstein, longtime boxing journalist, Showtime boxing analyst. You can catch him on the Showtime telecast, Showtime pay-per-views, everywhere there is Showtime boxing. Al, how are you, man? Thanks for joining me. Good, good. So I got a bunch of stuff I want to get into with you. It's an interesting time in boxing as we head towards kind of fight season. You know, you guys at Showtime had a fight last weekend with Gary Russell Jr. against Mark McSai. I want to get into that. Of course, February, March, usually pretty busy months in boxing. But something I reported on this week, I wanted to get your take on. Demetrius Andrade, the WBO middleweight champion, intends to vacate his title and move up to 168 pounds. Andrade, of course, has been a world champion at 160 since late 2018. He's well known to have had a lot of problems securing a big fight. So his plan, as far as I've been told, is to vacate, move up. They're trying to secure a fight with Zach Parker, which would, the winner would become the mandatory for one of Canelo's belts at 168. So let's start there. Your take on Andrade moving up, and I guess his legacy over the last 3 years at 160.
Yeah, it's intriguing. You know, you've reported extensively on him and how difficult it's been in the middleweight division for him to get the fights he wants against some of the top fighters. The interesting thing about him moving up to 168, I don't think a lot of people thought of him ever as a 168-pound fighter. He may well be able to compete well in that, at that division, but that's not where people kind of thought he was at. They thought middleweight would be the place for him. And the Parker fight would certainly be an interesting one, and especially if a win lines him up in theory for one of Canelo's belts. And I'm guessing what they figure is if he beats Parker, he could be on the list for Canelo after whatever Canelo does in May, whatever that may be. It's a move born, I guess, out of what they think are the best business opportunities, which is what boxers, you know, end up doing. It'll be interesting to see how well Andrade does at 168 pounds. He's not a powerful puncher. He's a really good fighter, obviously, and very skilled.
Yeah, the impetus, I guess, for doing this was that there was a purse bid scheduled for Friday, right, for Andrade to defend his title against Jenebek. Not going to say his last name because I'll butcher it. So he didn't, and Andrade did not really want to go through with that. He's been facing effectively mandatory after mandatory or a fighter like that for the last 3 years. It was Jason Quigley, then it was Liam Williams. He's been going that route, and it didn't really interest him to do that, especially since there were really no guarantees that he was going to get a Canelo, a Golovkin, a Munguia, one of the guys, Jamal Charlo, of course, one of the guys he's been chasing for the better part of the last few years. When I think of the last 3 years with Andrade, Al, and I've done every one of his fights over at DAZN, it's just disappointing. Oftentimes we see reasons why fights don't get made, whether it's because there are promotional issues or network issues or money issues. Like, Andrade had a title, he had real money behind him, he had fighters on his, quote, side of the street, whether it was Golovkin, Munguia, somebody else, that were available on the other side of the street. You had Jamal Charlo fighting the same level of unknown fighters as he would. And, like, I'm officially, Al, this will be the first time I say this, I'm getting off the Andrade Charlo train. I'm getting off. I am now off the Andrade Charlo. I have been broken, Al. I am a broken man.
For your own mental health, Chris, I'm happy to hear this. Only for that, your cause may have been a good one, but you know, the for your mental health, I'm happy. You know, it is frustrating. And listen, it's probably one of the classic cases, as you point out. There were some fighters that could have been available to him, some that were stretches because of the boxing business model. But the idea that we didn't get to see him against any of those people in middleweight is distressing because he's very talented. And so it's one of those, you know, this is the frustration with boxing. Listen, boxing is making a lot of fun matches and a lot of good matches, some of which we'll talk about. But because certain matches can't be made, it's always frustrating for boxing fans.
Yeah. Well, I sit before you a completely broken man on that count, Al. I'm going to go curl up and cry and pour one out.
We're going to have to get you therapy for this.
I'm pouring one out for Andre versus Trout. Until they're both at 168, when I will climb back on the train once again.
Then you can get back on that wagon. All right. That's good. So don't count that out.
I won't despair. All right. Let's talk about the fight that you called this past weekend. Gary Russell Jr. against Mark Magsayo. Magsayo wins by close decision. I wasn't surprised, Al, that Magsayo won, only because, like, Gary Russell was doing everything but say he was probably going to lose beforehand. Like, when he was like, you know, it's been a tough training camp. My father, he lost his foot. He wasn't able to train me in the way he's trained me in the past. I was basically training myself. Then he reveals an injury. Doesn't say what the injury is, but said it was there. Then he talked about the layoff, like 2 years off. I mean, everything leading up to that was screaming that this should be an upset. And I give Gary credit. He went in there knowing he was hurt. He fought bravely. He fought with one hand. I thought he lost a little bit more lopsided. He certainly didn't give Magsayo a boxing clinic, which is what he told Jim Gray in the ring afterwards. But I give him credit for fighting through the pain and lasting the full 12 rounds, but he doesn't pull it out. So give me your reaction to the way Russell fought and I guess where he goes from here.
I think there are many layers to this fight that are kind of interesting. You know, you touched on some of them and well put. You know, it is true the things he said before the fight were kind of foreshadowing of the fact that, hey, this might not work out perfectly for me, and these are the reasons. The interesting thing is I have a rule that I have never bet on a fight in my life. I don't bet on fights very much anyway, that I have announced. It is a hard and fast rule. I think it's totally inappropriate for any sportscaster to ever bet.
I agree.
If I was a betting man at the odds they had, I would have bet on Magsayo because of these things you're talking about. Russell did fight with guile and grit. And there's no question about that. And probably made and gave himself at least a chance in his fight with those things. Mark Magsayo fought the dumbest fight you could possibly fight. Now, that's on him. And God bless Freddie Roach. I love him like a brother. He's a Hall of Fame trainer. Sorry, it's on you too, Freddie, because they had a one-armed fighter in front of them. The way you fight a left-hander to begin with is move to your left, throw double left hooks and straight right hands, period. End of sentence, end of paragraph, right? He has all those weapons, Magsayo. He didn't do any of that. He moved to, as Abner Maris pointed out, he moved to the right for the whole fight. He had less volume than he should have. So he allowed Russell to have a chance in his fight. I think you're probably right I think Russell probably lost the fight. I didn't score every round. It seemed like Magsayo did enough to win more rounds than him. And again, Russell was limited to only his left hand. We know fighters have gone into fights with injuries before. It's very seldom they tell you they're injured. Usually they deny that they're injured, right? They say, no, I'm not. I'm okay. So that was different. That's what gave this a different dynamic. And Gary Russell's future is, listen, he gets healthy again. We know he's one of the best featherweights in the world. He would say the best, and maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But clearly, if he can get healthy again, we should see him back in the ring. The problem, of course, as is well documented, even though he's, the irony is, and the weird part of this is, he said before the fight, I want to fight three times this year. Well, it is odd that he said that in retrospect, given the fact that he had a shoulder injury. But I give Gary Russell all credit for, as you did, for getting through this fight and giving himself at least a chance to win. It's a testament to his boxing skills.
Yeah. You know, for Russell, I'm curious to see how long this injury shelves him. He talked about it being an old injury, right, which does suggest there could be surgery in the offing. Right. And if it's an old injury, it takes a while. Like, shoulder injuries are legit. It could take him many months. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised, Al, if this is the last we see of Gary Russell this year. You know, given you know, how much time to recover and how he doesn't necessarily run into fights that often. He's not like out there seeking them out. So I think he's going to have to come out of his comfort zone a little bit to get back into the mix among the top fighters. He's 33. I still think he has the talent to be a top guy, but you're going to have to reclimb the ranks a little bit. You don't have that title anymore. And Mark McSire doesn't owe you anything. You know, I know Sean Gibbons is like, yeah, we'll give him a rematch, but he doesn't owe you anything. And frankly, like McSire, if he winds up facing Ray Vargas in his next fight, which the WBC is suggesting, he might lose that fight. Like, I mean.
Mark McSire, listen, Mark McSire is a talented young fighter, but the Vargas fight is a very dangerous fight. Ray Vargas could beat anybody in his weight class, including Russell, including anybody, because he's so tall and so long and fights so smartly and fights his style so perfectly. So, yes, it's going to be a tough fight for McSire. Now, McSire is a lot more powerful than Vargas, and he will feel, and Freddie Roach and him, and I know I said a negative about Freddie, but he's a great trainer, of course. They're going to try, and they're going to work very hard on figuring out a game plan that will allow McSire to use his power against Vargas. But you're right. That's a dangerous fight as well.
Very good fight. Very good fight. So we'll see what happens with that, when and if Gary Russell ultimately returns. All right, I want to get your take on what's going on in the heavyweight division. Right now, Tyson Fury maybe sort of might fight Dillian White, if they can figure that out and never get to a purse bid. We've got Anthony Joshua, maybe sort of might fight Alexander Usyk in a rematch, if they can figure out some of the details there. Looming over all of this are the reports that there have been offers extended to both Dillian White and Anthony Joshua to step aside so Fury and Usyk can fight for the undisputed heavyweight championship. Now, let me couch this question, Al, by saying I've talked to enough people in Fury's orbit. Nobody's really sure where all that money's coming from. Like, there's like, there's $20 million out there for Anthony Joshua. Well, who is putting that up? Because Fury Usyk, I mean, if it's in the UK, it's not some, it's a big moneymaker, but it's, I don't know if it's big enough to be able to shave $20 million off the top and hand it to Anthony Joshua and hand whatever million off to Dillian White. But putting that aside for a second and focusing on Anthony Joshua, given what happened in the Usyk fight, and let's just say there's $15 to $20 million on the table for him to step aside. In your mind, would it be wise for him to take that, or should he go straight into a fight with Usyk?
Well, that is the $64,000 question. He takes a PR hit, in a way, in quotes, right, for doing it. But that's a lot of money to simply wait to fight somebody else, obviously. Listen, I think from a fan standpoint, either way it works out is okay for the – I think it's not terrible for the fans. I think Fury White's an interesting fight, and the rematch of Joshua Usyk is certainly – Usyk is certainly interesting because we want to see, can Joshua do better in this? Can Usyk even do better? He claims he can even do better as heavyweight. But of course, probably the majority of the fans at this juncture, if you took a poll of all boxing fans, probably 7 out of 10 would say they'd rather see the Fury Usyk fight, right? I mean, they would probably say, well, that piques my interest right now at this moment more because of what we've seen. You make the very interesting point, and it is worth at least again mentioning that business-wise, it's hard to understand where that $20 million comes from.
There's no Middle Eastern sultan out there ponying up the cash. Like, there's no, as far as I know, there's no possibility of a Saudi return for the heavyweight title.
That would be the only thing, right, that would make you think that kind of money's floating around there. So we don't know what to make of that. the only thing I can say is I hope that it gets sorted out as soon as possible for everyone, for the fighters, for the fans, so that we can move forward with this. Here's the one, you know, I'm always, sometimes I'm criticized for being too rosy, but at the very least, although sometimes I'm criticized for the opposite, so I guess, I don't know. But go figure, Chris. People can
always happens.
You.
Shocking. Shocking that's the case.
Exactly. But I, you know, at least we're talking about the heavyweight division and interested in their matches. 4 years ago, not so much, right? We weren't, maybe 5 years ago. So that's good. That's a good thing that we have these heavyweights that we're interested in, and that both of these fights, both of those fights come about, or they smoosh the Usyk Fury one together, either way, fans will have something interesting and fun to root for.
So among the reasons I think Joshua should strongly consider the step aside money, if it's there, is that unlike in 2019, there's a measure of control that he'd have over getting a shot at the winner of Fury Usyk. Like when it was suggested that Joshua should step aside for Ruiz Wilder in 2019, that was a dangerous game because then you're talking about maybe getting back on the hamster wheel with Deontay Wilder, and who knows how long it would take for a fight that never came to fruition to actually happen if he stepped aside for that. Like, we kind of know that the winner of Fury Usyk is going to run towards an Anthony Joshua fight. There's too much money, and Fury wants a legacy fight. Usyk will fight anybody. He's shown that over the last couple of years. So I like that. And look, if you're AJ, this fifth, let's say $15 million to step away, you can take a comeback type of fight against maybe somebody that fights like Usyk, somebody smaller, a blown-up cruiserweight, who isn't as dangerous. Maybe you can learn a couple of things. If you're bringing in somebody new to your team, that gives you a chance to work out some of the kinks with that that trainer. So, I don't know. Like it, to me, if that money's there, I take it. Pretty much cut and dry. If the money, if it's $15, $20 million, I take it, and I gear myself up for, let's say, a December, January, whatever it may be, showdown with either Joshua or with Fury or Usyk.
Well, those are compelling arguments for him doing it. And I think there's logic there. If he feels that he can make all that happen, if the money's there and he can, and you are also make an interesting point about the fact that he's changing trainers, he's going to a different team, a fight to get him ready for a tougher fight wouldn't be the worst thing on the planet, clearly. And of course, he doesn't know if he'd be facing Fury or Usyk, so he's not sure what style to fight, because he could presumably he's going to fight the winner of that. But either way, a fight for him that could get him ready again to battle a top fighter with a new trainer is not a, you know, isn't a terrible idea. It will be interesting. Of course, he will face a huge backlash if he does take the step aside money, just because that's what happens now in our society.
To those people, be like, you wouldn't take $15 million to just do nothing? Like, give me a break.
I believe they would. Yes.
I would. Yeah, I
think if somebody said to us, if we step aside from three broadcasts for $20 million and then we come back, would we do it? Yes, I believe we probably would. I'm pretty sure. Well, in your case, that would be less than you're getting for the three fights, so it wouldn't matter.
Right. Okay.
But in my case, you know, it would, you know.
Hey,
it would mean something.
I would be on a beach in some Caribbean island for that period of time. There's no doubt about that. All right, let's talk about a fight that was announced this week that I'm pretty excited about. Juan Francisco Estrada, he had to drop out of his fight against Chocolatito Gonzalez. Estrada contracted COVID. A third fight between Estrada and Chocolatito was highly anticipated, but the save is pretty good. Julio Cesar Martinez, 112-pound champion, is going to move up and face Chocolatito on the same date, March 5th. I think Estrada Chocolatito 3 is a tremendous fight, Al. This fight might actually in the ring be better. Like it could be all-out war. It probably will be all-out war between a Mexican brawler in Martinez and Chocolatito, who has never been in a bad fight in his life. So when I saw the announcement, I'm like, you know, I kind of like the new fight a little bit better than the old. What did you think?
I think this says all you need to know about A, Chocolatito, and B, the fighters in that general weight class. Okay. That God bless every one of them for fighting the toughest competition. Now, of course, somebody would argue, the cynic would say they have to because that's the only way they can get big money. Well, yeah, but, you know, forget about that for a second. There, for Chuck Liddell to take this challenge in the as the replacement, which keeps it, as you point out, a destination fight to watch. You know, it's very, very exciting. You know, as you point out, an all-out aggressive brawler against an older fighter who still showed in his last couple of fights that he has so much left in the tank. He is, and he's a volume puncher. Martinez is not so much a volume puncher, but a power puncher. So you have that kind of dichotomy going on. I was super looking forward to the first fight. And as you point out, I'm looking forward to this one almost as much as the first one.
You know, I'm curious to get your take on this. Like, the smaller fighters, they very rarely are elite in the way Chocolatito's been elite as he gets a little bit older. There are examples, of course, of guys that have aged really well. I mean, hell, Nonito Donaire is the greatest. I mean, he's dropped down to bantamweight and is kicking everybody's ass at this point. But like, one reason I'd be optimistic if I was Martinez that I can win is that I kind of got the sense, and Sergio Mora said this at the time, and I think he's right, like, against Estrada, could that have been Chocolatito's last stand? Like, could that have been when he kind of emptied the tank against a younger, bigger, stronger fighter? I thought he won that fight. I thought the scoring by Carlos Sucre was reprehensible in giving it that way to Estrada. But, like was that the fight that Chocolatito gave everything he had left? A rematch with Estrada, a big fight, a chance to put himself on top, arguably once again at 115. Now you got a younger guy in Martinez who won't come in with a size advantage, but he's going to have youth, aggression, all these attributes on his side. So if I'm Martinez, I'm thinking, look, this guy's an all-time great, but I don't know if he's still that guy after the fight with Estrada. That may have been his last stand. So I think that's a reason for Martinez and people that support him, like Eddie Reynoso and others, to be optimistic their guy can win.
Well, I think he would be. And let's remember that several fights ago when Chocolatito was knocked out after he had lost to that same opponent previously.
So Rungvisai a couple times,
the thought was that was the point at which Chocolatito had probably jumped the shark. Clearly, he showed us that was not the case. There's every reason for them to be hopeful of that. And here's the other thing. So they're stepping to a different weight division. Even if he should have a great fight with Chocolatito and lose, how does that hurt him? Doesn't hurt him at all, really. I mean, it's like, oh my God, then you've now joined the pantheon of all these wonderful lower weight fighters who are in these great fights. You're young enough that we can't wait to see what you do next. And I can't imagine that it would hurt him. And I think they feel confident that no matter what happens, this is going to be a super competitive and great fight. I don't think they anticipate getting blown out or it could happen, of course, but they anticipate a great fight like we all do. So this is logic, because even Chocolatito says, okay, I'm going to keep this a big event. I'm going to challenge myself and I'm the bigger guy. I believe I can win this fight. And Martinez says, I'm willing to roll the dice on this because there are a lot of reasons why it makes sense to roll the dice. Good for them.
Yeah, Martinez wouldn't lose a bit of shine on him. He goes back down to 112, fights a Sonny Edwards or somebody else to unify those belts. Maybe does a rematch with McWilliams Arroyo, depending on what he's ordered to do. And, you know, like, it's an opportunity.
You know, we talked about how it's nice that we're talking about the heavyweights. In recent years, it's wonderful that we're talking about these lighter weight divisions. Mm-hmm. Back in the Stone Age, when I was announcing in the old days, you know, the Paleozoic era, there was so little attention put on the lower weight classes. We'd have stars like Michael Carbajal and people of that nature, but, you know, Donaire and stuff, but anything south of 126, you know, it just didn't get enough attention, especially when he got down to 118 and 115, 112. those fighters were not given their due. I think we're seeing a little bit more of that now, and it's great. And listen, the network you work for has shown those fighters, has you know, told the world, here are these great guys. You know, HBO did it before, and DAZN picked up the mantle of those weight classes. You know, we've done it at Showtime. Others have done it. I think it's really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, they can't miss as far as action. Like, you never watch.
No, they're almost always great fights.
Like 118 and below, you don't watch one and be like, oh, that was kind of boring.
No, never.
They're always crackers. Speaking of lower weight classes, Gervonta Davis, two division title holder, holding one belt right now, a secondary title at 135. He has been ordered to face Rolando Romero. That was a fight that was really scheduled for late last year. Romero, of course, right, had to withdraw after some allegations of sexual assault. He has been cleared by the police in Nevada. So it seems like we're trending in that direction to see Davis against Romero in a rescheduled match. What do you think of that fight? And as someone that's called a lot of Gervonta Davis fights recently, do you think 2022 is the year we get Gervonta Davis in one of those big fights against a Ryan Garcia, against a Devin Cambosis?
I really hope so. I really, really do. You know, I listen, they claim that, you know, they've said recently they were trying to negotiate for Lomachenko. You're more of a reporter than I am.
That's not what I hear, Al. I do not hear that. Yeah. I do not hear that.
Right. So whether we accept that with a grain of salt or not, the key thing here is boxing always has these litmus tests for the casual media and casual fans that makes them decide boxing is not worthy of their attention because they won't do A, B, or C. This is one of those things. The idea that it's so hard, it seems, to get some of these top lightweights together. Now, George Cambosis seems pretty willing to fight one of these top lightweights. Good for him. And we did see, you know, Lomachenko and Lopez. We need to see Tank Davis in those fights. I think it's important for the sport. I think it's important for his legacy. And will only enhance him as a business, you know, as a brand. And I hope we see it. I'm very, very, and I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful about the Davis-Garcia fight for just a variety of reasons. I think of the ones that are available to him, it feels like that's the one that's more feasible to me. And I hope if this Romero fight happens, then I hope the very next one would be something like that.
Well,
important. And listen, Isak Cruz, who fought a great fight against Davis, you know, went the distance with him in a very close fight, kind of also added to, in my opinion, to some of the drama of all this because, you know, number one, he challenged Davis. Number two, we saw Davis respond to adversity because he too was injured in that fight. So to me, that all kind of adds subplots to what all these things moving forward.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be incumbent on Gervonta Davis to be the one pushing hardest to make that fight happen.
I agree.
You, like fighters, and I talk about this all the time, but fighters need to exercise the power that they have.
I agree.
And they have a lot of power. Like, you know, I mean, Floyd Mayweather didn't have a boss. Like, he decided who he wanted to fight, when he wanted to fight, and that was how it went. And look, if you're 21, 22, 23, sure, you follow the guidance of your promoter. Right. But Gervonta Davis is 27. He'll be 28 years old this year. It's time to see him in a big fight. Like, I get smacked, you know, for people saying I'm a Gervonta hater. Leonard Ellerby likes to say that about me. I'm not. I think he can. I'm not picking anybody to beat him. I just want to see him in these fights. I don't know who wins with Gervonta and Ryan Garcia. Somebody's going to get knocked out. I think that's for sure in a fight like that. And Gervonta's got the pop to stop a Devin Haney, to give a problem to Lomachenko. Right. You can't go another year if it's like Romero and, you know, whatever version of Isak Cruz is available at the end of the year, that just is just a waste of every time.
Everybody wants to see him in a fight against one of the top rivals in that weight division. I think it's just, it's just a fact, you know, we all want to see that. And I'm very hopeful that it can happen this year.
Yeah, so am I. All right. Last thing I want to ask you about this weekend, there is a cruiserweight title fight between Tabiso Machunu and Junior Makabu. Now, ordinarily, Al, I wouldn't give a damn about a cruiserweight title fight. I'm not a cruiserweight fan and not either one of those guys.
You know, I actually think the cruiserweight division has produced really, really great fights over the years.
It's not bad. You're right. Especially in the world boxing superstars.
But you are right. They lack the marquee value oftentimes.
Right. I loved the World Boxing Super Series.
That was fun.
It established, it built Alexander Usyk. It made him into a household name in boxing to a lesser degree. Marius Bredis is well known. Lawrence Okolie is an interesting guy now fighting over in the UK at cruiserweight. But these two guys, I mean, I will buy the pay-per-view. I would have bought the pay-per-view because I'm a boxing guy, but whatever. But the intriguing part of this is that as we record this, all quiet on the Canelo front. Like a month ago, some people were saying maybe it's Dimitri Bivol. Then Joe Smith fights. And Jermall Charlo is still lurking out there as a potential opponent for Canelo. Right. Now we have Makabu Machunu and the knowledge that Canelo is open and his trainer wants him to fight at cruiserweight. So as you, like I will, prepare to sit down and watch the Don King-produced pay-per-view, which should be interesting.
Did you think you were ever going to say that? Nope. Those words again?
Not in 10-plus years. I didn't think I was going to say that. Warren, Ohio. I almost went out there for this. Like, I'm just that fascinated by the Canelo aspect of it. But do you look at this maybe as an audition for either one of these guys, but the most notably Makabu, to face Canelo Alvarez?
This is just a feeling I have, and it's not born out of a lot of super intelligence. I think Canelo's off the cruiserweight idea. I really do. I really believe that, you know, it's like people send up trial balloons. I think that was a trial balloon by Reynoso and by him and whatever. And I think he's off it. I believe that we're going to see him against somebody in quotes more appropriate. And I only say appropriate because, let's be honest, you know, 9 out of 10 boxing fans would rather see him face somebody as a light heavyweight, a 168 pounder of, or whoever, whether it's Charlo Benavidez, Better BF, you know, or any, or Bivol, who cares? Most boxing fans would like to see that. So I believe they are off the idea that they're going to do the, so I think that this fight does not end up being an audition for them to fight Canelo. That's my opinion. And that's just the feeling I get. Which I think is really the right thing. And I'm not, you know, Canelo can do whatever he wants, obviously. He's one of those, you know, every once in a while we have a fighter in that category that can do that. But I just don't know if there's any appetite for that from fans. And I just don't see it.
Yeah, the Canelo appetite. I mean, Canelo, he's the one selling every pay-per-view unit. Like against Caleb Plant, it was Canelo. Against Billy Joe Saunders, it was Canelo. The 73,000 fans that were in AT&T Stadium, I can tell you from being there, they were all for Canelo. So he's whoever he steps in with, he's the draw and all that. But I tend to agree with you, especially when Canelo said afterwards, after Eddie Reynoso went to the WBC convention and made the pitch, he's like, I don't know who's going to do it. Like, but whatever. I mean, if Eddie wants me to do it.
Staggering. That was shocking to me, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. So it feels like Jermall Charlo is the leader in the clubhouse right now. I guess that's fine at this point. I'm disappointed, I've said this before in this podcast, that Golovkin-Murata didn't happen in December, because if Golovkin had performed really well against Murata, it would have...
Right, that would have given the impetus for him to fight.
Undisputed at 168 versus unified at 160 adds another layer to their competition. But that being said, I don't get the sense right now, and I could be wrong, but I don't get the sense right now he's... I don't get this as a light heavyweight's where he wants to go at the moment. He will eventually. But, you know, all the talk about Joe Smith, about Better Biev, about Bivol, like Bivol could have happened already. Like Bivol would have taken money. That's an easy fight to make. So I get the sense, Charles. I don't know who beats Canelo right now. I don't know who even gives him a fight right now, besides maybe Better Biev. But go ahead.
Yeah. You know, from a competition standpoint, 168 is the perfect weight for Canelo right now. He's not going to make 160. He's really good at 168 pounds. He's got enough. He's got enough power for that weight class. His chin, of course, is ridiculous. And even going up to 168 thus far, anyway, it's held up now, you know. And even the toughest, what people perceive as maybe the toughest challenge for him, Benavidez. Benavidez is a terrific fighter. He's not a one-punch knockout artist. So the idea of one punch knocking out Canelo from him doesn't seem, you know, but of course, that's not what Benavidez does. He throws so many punches and hits you with so many that at the end of the day, it wears on you. But I think 168 is just where he should be from a competition standpoint. I think at the end of the day, that may rule his thinking. Mm-hmm. I think that may be ultimately what tells them, you know, but we've talked during this interview, we've talked equal amounts about fighters thinking as businessmen and thinking as fighters. And both those factors seem to enter into their decision-making process. In this case, I think maybe Canelo and Reynosa as boxing people will figure more heavily into their decision-making than as businessmen.
Let me ask you this. You've called most of Jermall Charlo's recent fights, his last fight against Juan Montiel, where he went the distance with Montiel. What kind of odds or chances do you give Charlo at 168 against Canelo? And what have you seen from him in recent fights? Yeah. Montiel was a struggle. It was more of a struggle than I thought it was going to be for Charlo.
You know, I thought his effort, Sergey Derevchenko fought a great fight against Charlo. He looked just as good, in my opinion, as he did in those tough fights with Jacobs and Golovkin when we saw Derevchenko really perform well. I thought he was almost on that level against Charlo. And the reason I say that is because that was Jermall Charlo's best performance ever. I mean, he faced adversity. He fought really well. Now, the following fight, the fighter he fought turned out to be better than people would have anticipated. But then we always ask the question, how much do we lay on Jermall Charlo? Did he underperform in that fight? He won the fight, clearly, but got a much tougher competition. Here's the thing about a Charlo-Canelo fight, to me anyway. Jermall Charlo is a wonderful offensive fighter. He's going to land punches against Canelo. How much, how many, I don't know. Canelo's, by the way, is a better defensive fighter. And you've, of course, very much chronicled Canelo's, maturation as a fighter. He's a better defensive fighter than he used to be. But he's going to be hit by Jermall Charlo. Can Jermall Charlo do enough to hurt Canelo or land enough of those punches to deal with Canelo's offense? And that's the big question. And we don't know, you know, whether Charlo will be hurt by Canelo. He's moving up in weight, right? Even though Canelo was formerly a middleweight. So he wasn't born to 168 pounds. So the thing that makes that fight kind of intriguing is we know Charlo will function pretty well on offense and he gets some things done. Can he get enough done to blunt what ultimately ends up being Canelo's huge offensive firepower?
Charlo's got a great jab. The issue with beating Canelo is that you can't out-jab him. Like, you can throw more jabs at him, but you can't win by out-jabbing him. At some point, you have to let the right hands go, and nobody recently has been willing to do it, whether it's Callum Smith, Billy Joe Saunders, Caleb Plant. You throw the jabs, it's kind of safe, and it might be a scoring punch, especially early in the fight, but when he's coming at you, and you know what's coming back if you let that right hand go, it's made guys reluctant to do it. So until I see somebody that's not named Gennady Golovkin let the right hand go, I'm just going to be skeptical that somebody's going to do it.
Yeah, I think Charlo's the kind of fighter, though, who is likely to at least attempt to do that because of a variety of things. Number one, it's his legacy fight, mm-hmm. period. Number two, he's kind of conditioned to try and do that. And the other thing about Charlo that I'll say is He's not a one-trick pony offensively. He has a very wide arsenal of offense when he uses it correctly. Both he and his brother, that's the one of the things you really are their strengths. And Golovkin used that to his advantage. You know, he has a really good offensive arsenal of a bunch of different punches. So I your point is a very valid one, but I think there could be a couple of ways for Charlotte to.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at ReserveBar.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
In the cat against Canelo. Now, it's a very tough assignment, especially if you're coming up in weight. You've never had a fight at 168 pounds. You know, in the old days, people used to take fights at a weight class until they moved there for a major fight. Not so anymore. People just go there and they fight people. Sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, hopefully it somebody gives Canelo a good fight, because he's
We want to see that, don't we? We want to see something like the Golovkin fight. We want to see, fights. Listen, Caleb Plant, I thought, overperformed in parts of that fight and demonstrated that he could be a very solid 168-pounder and showed us his improvement, but he wasn't on the level that could create a super competitive fight with Canelo.
Yeah, and maybe not so much with the talking about what a great fight it is during it. That was kind of weird when I saw Caleb Plant Caleb Plant, you know, the on the Showtime after show, right, like when he's like, "This is a good fight, huh?" And I was like, "Yeah, like, all right, well."
He was.
That was weird. I never seen that, Al. That was weird.
Auditioning. Yeah, he was auditioning for a commentary job.
There you go. So he's next in line.
While he was fighting, so you have to give him credit for that.
Al, always enjoy the conversation, man. Good to talk to you. Hope to see you at a fight real soon.
Yeah. Okay. I know we're overdue to have a cocktail or a cup of coffee.
Yes, sir. Thanks for joining me. When we come back,
My conversation with Trevor Bryan.
Career Builder is made for people who have that thing. You know, those superpowers that make you good at your job, the skills you bring to work. And Career Builder knows those skills make you right for other jobs too. Higher paying jobs with benefits. Jobs you never thought of trying. Are you a people person? Work from home as a customer service rep? Are you organized and like driving? Become a delivery driver. You have the skills it takes, and CareerBuilder.com has the jobs to get you hired fast. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
Look, we're all adults here, and I know some of us choose to use nicotine to relax, focus, or just unwind after a long day. Lucy is a modern oral nicotine company that makes nicotine gum, lozenges, and pouches for adults who are looking for the best, most responsible way to consume their nicotine. It's a new year. Why not start it out by switching to a new nicotine product that you can feel good about? If you enjoy using nicotine, you should definitely check out Lucy's products at lucy.co. That's lucy.co, and use the promo code BOXING at checkout. Also, I have to read this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Remember, if you're interested in a better way to use nicotine, visit lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code BOXING.
Millions of Americans are getting back to work. CareerBuilder calls it the great rehire. And we want to help you get the best jobs before everyone else. CareerBuilder gives you the competitive edge to get the job you want, at the salary you want, with the benefits you want. We even send job alerts so your perfect job lands right in your inbox. Go to CareerBuilder.com today or get left with whatever jobs are left. Find your next job fast at CareerBuilder.com.
Fight fans, throw your best haymaker with a risk-free bet from the FanDuel Sportsbook. Even if your fighter gets knocked out or tapped out, new customers get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. That is a great deal. Just sign up with the promo code BOXING and you'll be able to bet on all the biggest boxing matches and UFC fights. FanDuel offers all your favorite bets. Choose from the money line to the method of victory to which round the fight will end and so much more. You can even parlay different fight bets together. The bigger your parlay, the bigger your potential payout becomes. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook and is now live in New York. New Yorkers, you don't got to drive to New Jersey anymore to make some bets. You can do it right from your home. The app, it's so easy to use. And when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. To place your first bet risk-free, sign up with the promo code BOXING and make every fight night mean more with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. All right, Trevor Bryan is the WBA heavyweight champion. On Saturday, he will defend that title against Jonathan Guidry. That's a fight that will take place in Warren, Ohio, and you can watch it on pay-per-view. Trevor, before I get into the fight and kind of your place in the heavyweight division, I was watching back your media conference call with Don King, and I'm wondering, like, at what point when Don starts talking, do you kind of lose track of everything that he's saying during these conversations?
You know, Don King's a historian, man. So just to sometimes listen to him, you can get lost because he has so much knowledge and so much information. And sometimes even I turn into a fan as well, just sitting there talking to him and listening to him. So, yeah, man, it's funny. I just love to hear that man speak.
Yeah, I've been down to his office in Florida a few times. I've done magazine stories on him. Like, it's just at some point he's like, I'm not sure where he's going with his conversations. And, you know, I was just laughing, just thinking, watching your conference call. Just vintage Don when he starts talking. I mean, how would you describe your relationship with Don King?
I have a great relationship with Don. He's my promoter, and we talk about whatever we need to talk about for the fights and continuing my career, my promising career as heavyweight champion.
So what, when you look back at the decision to sign with Don, what went into that for you?
As I said in that last interview as well, when I had my first meeting with Don, he basically told us, hey, man, I usually don't sign guys straight out of amateurs. I mean, I sign guys that's getting ready to fight for titles or in positions for titles. So that was something big coming from my city of Albany, New York, of two amateur guys getting signed, me and A. Mary Mom. But what got me was when Don King showed me his ledger of all the champions he had, all the former champions, all the heavyweight champions, every champion he had, and all the millionaires he made. And I was like, man, sign me up. Like, I want my legacy to start here. I want to be part of this list. And I told him that day, I'm going to be heavyweight champion one day. So give me the contract. I'm ready to sign. Let me put the work in. And that's where it started off.
When you were coming up in the amateur ranks, becoming heavyweight champion, like, when did that dream start to kind of form for you? When did boxing really become a thing that you wanted to do for the rest of your life?
Man, it's funny because I started doing this sport just for fun, like just to let out some inner city steam. And it was like a safe haven for me to go to and not worry about what's going on in actual reality. And just going to those that amateur background of just going to those tournaments and fighting all over the country, fighting all international. I mean, I never really thought that, yo, one day I'm going to become a heavyweight champion of the world. It's funny because meeting all these guys, meeting all these different individual fighters and amateurs, and their father was champion, their uncle was champion, this and that, me just being a kid just doing it for fun. And it really didn't come to like the end of my amateur career trying to go to the Olympics where I said, you know what? Hearing all these other former champions saying, hey, man, I see something in you and you could become heavyweight champion yourself if you stick with it. And at that point, that's where I decided to say, you know what? Let me see how good my talents are. Let me see how good my hard work ethic is. Let me see if I could do this. And that became a dream of mine, to become heavyweight champion, actually see this through. And here I am today. I manifest my own dream into reality. And I'm heavyweight champion. You got to put some respect on my name. So I'm here to stay. And that's where it started.
Who was, when you think about the people that encouraged you along the way, was there one or a couple that kind of stand out that what they said to you really pushed you in that direction?
There was more than a few. I mean, different times in my life, different stages in my life, there's a lot of different, like, I'll be talking all day if I was to tell you every last individual, but the main characters was Jamel Muhammad, Messiah Muhammad, my home coach, Vincent Kittles, my college coach, Al Mitchell, and a lot of other strong male figures in my family. But just to have all that collective energy for people wanting me to do better in life, that's what drove me to stick with it and to be here where I am today.
Al Mitchell, I think a lot of people know. What was his influence on you?
Oh, man, Al always seen the best out of me, man. And he always used to tell me the truth, man. Like, Trevor, you could be so great. And Trevor, you can do this. Trevor, you can do that. You just got to – I've always been who I am, man. I've always been a big guy, a big kid off the street, man. And I really appreciate the time that I had with Al Mitchell out there in Marquette, Michigan, at the MMU program. And, man, Al Mitchell has always been in my corner, man. He always hits me up from time to time. Trevor, you're doing great, man. You're looking great, man. Keep continuing to do his thing. And I'll always be a Marquette, Michigan bad boy. So, I mean, shout out to my boy Al Mitchell, man.
How does a guy from Albany, New York like living or being in that area of Wisconsin?
I'm from Albany, New York, but I've been in South Florida for the past 10 years, man. My bones done weak, man. For real, I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, this cold weather is crazy. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, but it feels good to actually see the weather again. And like I said, it brings me back those memories from Albany, New York and Marquette, Michigan, where it snowed for like a whole month straight, nonstop. Like, so it's great to be back out here in this climate.
That Midwest, that gets cold up there for sure. No doubt about that. Let's talk about your situation. You are mixed up in one of the more interesting, wild situations in boxing. You won the WBA's interim version of the title that you have in 2018. You won the regular version last year, beating Bermain Stiverne. That's a title and the title you're going to defend this weekend against Guidry. As we've been talking, you know, you call yourself the champ. Alexander Usyk would disagree. He would say his version supersedes your version. So tell me what you think of this situation and where it places you in the heavyweight division.
Well, you got to understand the regular WBA belt is the original belt. The super belt is something new. I mean, my belt, all the greats have had it, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not gonna argue and say which belt is more important, but they put more value on the super belt right now. And hey, listen, man, I'm a heavyweight champion. I'm coming to collect all the belts. So Usyk can say what he wants to say, but once I get in that position where I have to fight him, we'll finish that fact there. You see what I'm saying? But like I said, me being a heavyweight champion in the world, I just come to do what I do best, and that is fight and show my ringmanship. So like I said, I want to fight the best. I'm here for the best. I am one of the best now. And like I said, I'm ready to further my legacy with those great big fights.
When with the WBA trying to eliminate belts, and they have done it in multiple different divisions, do you agree with that? Do you think it should be one title holder in that organization?
Well, again, like I said, the original belt is the number one to me, but I feel like it'll strengthen up the belts more.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, Tecovas.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at reservebar.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my
game. That's
my game. Yeah, just having one belt and not having all these, like I said, like one of the previous belts I had, I mean, I think it's great for the deal of the belts, and they find that has more value on it. So me with my regular belt, let's put me against, let's make it an undisputed fight. Let's make this thing happen. Like, let's get to it. I'm ready to fight Usyk. I'm ready to get whoever. I mean, Usyk is the man. He has my super belt. So I'm ready to go after him. And let's have one belt. Let's definitely have one belt and have that one number crown champion of the world. I'm in for it.
Now that's certainly the easiest way to do it, to have everybody fight each other and clean up that mess in the ring. You know, you won that title against BJ Flores, the interim title in 2018. Didn't fight again until 2021. For people that don't know, like, what went into what was the cause of the long layoff you had, where I'm sure you'd be disappointed to lose kind of prime years of your fighting career?
It was a challenge. If people don't know, Manuel Shaw was the holdup. He had the regular WBA belt since 2017, where he won that against Alexander Usyk, I believe, right? And he hasn't defended the belt, period. And it's here we are in 2021, 2022, he hasn't defended that belt. So, I mean, he couldn't make it to the United States back in 2020 to defend his belt against me. And here we are now. I got the belt now, and he's no more to talk about. I'm just want to further this career from where I'm at now. And let me get the USEC, man. That's what I want to talk about. Let's get the USEC. I mean, it was 2 years in the past. I can't talk about the past. You know what I mean? Hey, what happens, what happened. And it's in the past now. But let's worry about what's going to happen in the future.
So I think people look at your resume. They see BJ Flores. They know him. They know Bermain Stiverne as a former champion. But I think people wonder, how good is Trevor Bryant? Yeah. How good are you? Like, yeah. What is the answer to that question?
Me, I'm the man. I'm the man with the plan. I mean, they can look at my record and say whatever. People in boxing know who I am. You know what I'm saying? Professional ranks know who I am and know what type of fight I bring. It's just for the world to catch up. I mean, that's all it is. And once after I get past this hump right here on coming on January 29th, the rest of the world is going to see, because there's some real big names out there for me to fight against and showcase my talent against. And these are the best that the world say they are. So after this fight, I'm going to be fighting among the best. And then we could say after that next fight of Trevor Bryant, you talked everything that you said you were. And I'm here to stay. Like I said, I'm here to further this legacy from this point on.
Yeah, you've talked about getting that big blockbuster fight in your next fight out, or at least in 2022. What fight is that for you? I mean, realistically, you know, Usyk, Joshua, Fury, they're going to do their dance over the next, you know, whatever number of months. Is it Daniel Dubois? Is it somebody else? Like, what do you see as that big blockbuster fight waiting if you win on Saturday night?
Like I said, you just mentioned them. Usyk, Fury, Anthony, Joshua, these are that day the best. Now, you have other guys that's coming up, like Danny Dubois and other former champions like Deontay Wilder. And
look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Some other fighters out there and all that. Like I said, it's up to the promotion. Like, we want to make these big fights that the promotion and the sanctioning body feels that will be strong for the title. And I'm up for it, because naturally we're going to show people what boxing is all about.
So you feel confident that you will get several fights this year, two, maybe three fights in 2022?
Well, shit, I hope so. Three goddamn fights, that would be nice. Well, I ain't going to lie to you. That sure would be nice. But if I can get two, I'll be satisfied as well. But like I said, after January 29th, let's not look past that. We have a hard, strong opponent in front of us, 17-0, and we're going to get past this. We're going to get past this, and then we're going to talk about the next.
All right. Well, hopefully you get that done on the 29th, and then we're talking about you in bigger fights the rest of the year. Trevor, good to talk to you, man. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
When we come back, this week's picks brought to you by FanDuel. All right, time now for this week's picks brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. And before I get into them, I just want to remind everybody that I am now 4-0 since I started making picks on this podcast. And I haven't just been picking easy winners. First time around, I told you Joe Smith by knockout. That was a pretty easy one to predict. Last week, I told you bet the underdog, Mark Megsayo over Gary Russell. I told you to pick Megsayo by decision, and that is exactly what happened. So, I'm off to a pretty good start, is all I'm saying. This week, I am focused on the cruiserweight division, the headliner of a pay-per-view this weekend, Junior Makabu versus Tibisso Machuno. This is a rematch of a really good fight back in 2015 that was won by Makabu by 11th round knockout. And I actually see this fight playing out a lot like that one did. I think it's going to be close in spurts. Machuno is a very solid boxer, has shown good defense during his career, but Makabu is a puncher. And how he knocked out Machuno last time with a straight uppercut that put Machuno down face first on the canvas, I think there'll be a similar shot that puts Machuno down. Now, Makabu is a slight favorite in this one. He's coming in at minus 164. Makabu, by knockout, is only at plus 155. So the odds are not great on this one, but I think Makabu is going to be the sharper fighter, and I think Makabu is going to be the more motivated fighter, because we know that if Makabu wins this fight, there is at least the possibility that he could face Canelo Alvarez his next time out. So if there's any reason for a fighter to be motivated and ready to go, it's that. There is a winning lottery ticket potentially available for Makabu if he wins. I think that's going to focus him, and I think it's Makabu by knockout. That's my pick for this week, brought to you by FanDuel. That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Al Bernstein and Trevor Bryan for joining the show. As always, subscribe, rate, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can download podcasts. And I'll see you next week.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.